I think Islam hates us.
They have done nothing except wreak havoc and terror for our faith and our religion.
When we stand up to those who oppress our communities, that Allah accepts from us that as a form of jihad.
Foundations of society are fragile. We must be the shepherds of our own civilization.
If anyone answers either yes or no without making necessary distinctions, both are not telling the truth. They're lying.
Father, we pray that your word will become a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. That you will raise up in this nation pulpits and prophets that will call the nation back to repentance.
Will you distance yourself from those who think differently, or will you join us at the table and talk about what is really important? This is the Al-Ma'ida Initiative, conversation without compromise.
What is your take on the end of the world?
My time now?
Yes, go ahead.
Awesome. So first is thank you for inviting me again. And I think it is a great subject. And we have to be focused, as you mentioned. And we have to utilize the time very effectively and efficiently, and clearly communicating it to the people. In Islam, as Christianity, as Judaism, when you talk to people, they are people, and they are going to tell you sometimes their views or their understanding, and it does not matter how good it is, how accurate it is, how correct it is or not. This is why I would rather to focus with you today on just the factual information of it. When we talk about any subject in Islam, the two main sources you have to go to, either the blessed Quran, and you have your reference there, or you have to go to the tradition of the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, and you have to have, this is the evidence. Without evidence, it is a matter of opinion, and the opinion just represents the individual. Now, I just got a verse from the Quran to connect our discussion to the end times, and how people of Islamic faith believe and connected to the end times. The verse, it is in the Blessed Quran, and it says, O you who have believed, believe in Allah, the Almighty God, and His Messenger, and the book that He, the Almighty God, sent down upon His Messenger, and the scriptures, which the Almighty God sent down before the Prophet of Islam. And the second half of the verse is, and whoever disbelieves in the Almighty God, his angels, his books, his messengers, and the last day, and here the key is, the connection is the last day, has certainly gone far astray. Now, from this verse, we derived what we call it the articles of faith in Islam. And the articles of faith, one of the main articles of faith, which is connected together, you cannot pick and choose, which to believe in the one God, to believe in all books of God, the Quran, the Torah of Moses, the Gospel of Jesus, the Psalms of David, etc. You have to believe in them as a person of Islamic faith. You have to believe in all messengers of God, from Adam, peace be upon him, all the way to Muhammad, the last messenger, peace be upon him. And you have to believe in the angels, the existence of the angels. We have to believe in it. And one of the articles of faith, which is the subject we have talked about, the last, to believe there is a last day. There is life after death, meaning that this life we live in is nothing but a transient. Is nothing but a transient, which we are going to live, we are going to die. And when you die, that is the beginning of the last day for you. Then you're going to be in what we call it al-barzakh, in the grave, for a while, till the judgment day comes. And that's where the end of times comes. Will you be resurrected and will be held accountable for everything you did in this a transient life you lived in. So believing in the last day is part of the articles of faith, and every one of us, his end of time will start by his or her death and will continue till the judgment day, where all of us will be resurrected and do it. Now, that also there is a hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, about the end of times. When the end of times happen, we have been seeing so many signs. We have been seeing people sometimes irrational, thinking about end of times going to happen tomorrow. We have no clue when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, but we can see some signs. The signs are also, there is in the blessed Quran, also there is a verse says, then do they await except that the hour, i.e. the day of judgment, the judgment day, the end of time, should come upon them unexpectedly. So it will come sudden. Nobody knows when. Now, as a people of Islamic faith, we believe we know the day. The day will be Friday, but we do not know which Friday.
Right.
Now, but already there have come some of its indications. So the Quran told us 1400 years ago that, yes, you don't know when the hour gonna come, when the end of time happens. However, you got some indications. Now, the indications we have in Islam or Muslim scholars divide them into a couple or two categories. One of them, they call them small indications or minor indications, right? Such as earthquakes, mischief, misbehavior of people, people killing each other, diseases. All these, they call them just minor indications, and quite a few of them happen and did not return again. Some of them just happen, like, for example, skyscrapers, these high-rising buildings all over, which, of course, Islam had nothing to do with it 1,400 years ago. Now, they told us it will come, and we can see people just who has the tallest building, right, which city. So all these are, we call them minor signs. In this subject, we should care about what we call them the major signs of the hour, of the end of times. And also Islam told us the major signs. Once the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, that was 1400 years ago or more, he was asked about the major signs. He said, the day of judgment shall not occur until you see 10 signs. Before it, the smoke, the Antichrist, the beast, the sun rising from the west, the descent of Jesus, peace be upon him, son of Mary, the coming of Gog and Magog, and the three earthquakes going to rattle the world, one in the east, one in the west, one in the Arabia Peninsula. And the 10th, the last but not least, which basically there will be a great fire shall appear from Yemen. The Yemen we know. So these are the 10 signs. These are the major signs where they have to happen. Now, the orders of them, we don't know. But we know they're going to come. For example, some scholars mention the first of the major signs will be the smoke. What's the smoke? The smoke, like a huge, thick smoke will come from the heavens and will come down and will cover the whole earth. And some narrations says for 40 days. What does 40 days mean? We don't know, but we'll cover it for 40 days. That's the major sign. But the other main major sign is the appearance of what we call him false Messiah, the Antichrist. And he has to come. Still, we haven't seen those yet. Then also, Gog and Magog, also they have to come. Jesus, peace be upon him, the second coming of Jesus is part of the major signs in the Islamic faith that the day of judgment, the end of times there. Because Jesus, peace be upon him, will protect the believers, will kill the Antichrist, and will basically protect the believers from Gog and Magog, and all of them will disappear during Jesus, peace be upon him, when he spread peace, calms. Then the other hours, we don't know when, but and how that will happen. The sun rises from the west. This is a sign where when it happens, the repentance in Islam, the door for repentance for a person to say, I believe in God, it will be too late. Because that sign after it, or before it might happen, we don't know, the three earthquakes which are going to rattle the world, the beast is just extraordinary animal which will come from the ground and will distinguish the believer from the disbeliever. Then after that, we're going to have what we call it the trumpet blow will be sounded, and all the dead people will resurrected. And you can see the fire comes from the Yemen, and that fire will guide people to where they're going to be, a symbol for the day of judgment. So this is, in brief, the major signs. When it's going to happen, we don't know. How it's going to happen, we don't know. But we know it will happen. It's a matter of faith, a matter of belief. Life after death is part of the belief. And just we need to live our life.
So there's two things I'm immensely curious about right off the bat. So one is, you talk about the beast.
Yes.
We're thinking like a sort of Godzilla type.
It's an animal.
An animal. Like, is it, that's because the Bible talks about the beast, and so some of the prophets talk about the beast, but the primary way Christians understand those things is it represents kind of like nations and governments. But in the Islamic sense, there's actually a kind of like a monster.
No, I can't say a monster. The beast is again part of the major signs of the end of times. You see, as when you mentioned at the beginning, you got interested about this subject with some talk to Muslims. There are so many discussions outside,
right.
But how truth it is, we don't know. How good it is, we don't know. How accurate it is, we don't know. What I wrote for you here is what we call it a sound, correct saying of the prophet. That means it's an authentic saying. And the beast, all what I know about it and what read about it in the past, it's just extraordinary animal, will come from the ground, and it will just talk to the people, and it will separate or will distinguish or identify believer from disbeliever. Now, is it going to come before the sun rises from the west, or after it, or at the same time? We don't know. But that's what only the beast mentioned in from the Islamic perspective.
That sounds like a fascinating movie. That's interesting. It's kind of cool. And then you talked about the Antichrist.
Yes.
So I'm curious, what is a... I'm always... it's too big of a discussion for today, but I'm always a little nebulous on what the Islamic idea of what Christ Messiah is.
Yes.
So what is the role of the Antichrist?
The Antichrist is a being. We do believe he is alive. He is somewhere. And he is chained somewhere. We don't know. But what he will appear, and he will be the first or the second major sign of the end of times, because these 10 signs, when they happen, just like beads in a thread. I mean, if you cut the thread, they're gonna come just one after another. But again, the timing, it's beyond our imagination. We don't know what it is, but the Antichrist is a supernatural, he will have a supernatural power where he will come and he will deceive so many people will follow him and believe in him. And he will spread mischief all over the world. And that is when Jesus, peace be upon him, the second coming will come and will kill him and protect the world from him. So that's what the Antichrist or false Messiah we call him.
Is that the same thing as Masih ad-Dajjal?
Yes, it is exactly Masih ad-Dajjal, but we call him the Antichrist, which is Masih ad-Dajjal. The meaning of Masih ad-Dajjal is Antichrist.
Okay.
He's a false, literally meaning false Messiah. Masih ad-Dajjal, false Messiah.
So kind of this religious political figure, yes, coming in, claiming to be
God. And he will have superpower. I mean, supernatural things. He will have some. He will perform some things. He will be misleading people, because when they saw his natural, I mean, his superpower there and things he can do, and of course, many people will follow him. And of course, some believers who disagree with him, well, will not be afraid of him and will stay without him till Jesus, peace be upon him, will come and will protect everybody and will kill him.
Okay, so I think a lot of this is very similar.
Yes.
So there's not really a sort of timeline given in the Bible either as for when the end times happen, because there's sort of a mission that has to be fulfilled before it happens. Before Jesus ascended back to heaven to be with his Father, he stands on the Mount of Olives outside Jerusalem, and he tells them to go into all the nations of the world, teaching them everything that I've commanded you, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm with you always till the end of the age. And his disciples, his 12 sort of immediate followers, who were with him on that mountain, it says in Acts 1 verse 6 in the Bible, it says, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" So this idea is that Jesus has sent out his people to every nation under the sky to teach people about God, to have people reconciled to God. And we, like the Muslims, are waiting for the return
of Jesus. Badly. but we don't know when he's gonna come. But yes, we know he will.
Now I will not deny that we've been waiting for it badly in many ways, but maybe not in the ways you think.
Okay.
So essentially, there's some of the sort of same key factors there, but one difference that I think I'm aware of, and I believe there's an authentic hadith that says Jesus will return in Damascus in the Islamic sources, right?
There's a couple points. You see here, when you talk about Jerusalem and Damascus and things, this is what we call it, you see, the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its surrounding. It's just, you could say Damascus is very close to its surrounding. But yes, he will descend at the entrance of Damascus. That's what the hadith, you are correct. There is a hadith says, when he comes, it was during morning service, morning prayer, at the beginning of Damascus. Yes.
So, in the Bible, there's a huge significance tied to the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem. And in the Old Testament, there was a temple where God's presence dwelled specifically. And before, when all the nation of Israel had turned to idolatry and stopped worshipping the true God, one of the prophets talks about God's presence departing from the temple to the east and then on to the Mount of Olives outside Jerusalem. And then later in the book, it talks about God's presence returning from the Mount of Olives and entering into Jerusalem again. And so when Jesus enters Jerusalem, he comes to the Mount of Olives and goes straight to the temple, and he drives out all the people who are selling things there. And then when Jesus raises from the dead, he goes to the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives is the place where he ascends back into heaven. And so then the expectation in the Bible is at the end, there's going to be some chaos surrounding Jerusalem. And then it says that God himself will stand upon the Mount of Olives and then enter the city of Jerusalem again. So the way that the Bible describes the return of Jesus is
the end is in Revelation 19. It says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name with which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So this is Jesus returning in judgment of the nations. Like in Islam, that brings in judgment. And so in Revelation 20, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done." Now, one difference that I'm aware of is that eternity in the Bible happens on earth, not in heaven. So chapter 21, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, or crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, the second death." And so the idea is Jesus returns, judges the world, banishes death, banishes the idolaters and the sinful into the lake of fire, but then lives with his people on a world free from death forever.
Well, I mean, actually, this is the first time I heard this from you. And Islam, they have a different version of that. Is again, you see, the judgment day, you see what we call it, Yawmul Mahshar, the last hour, the judgment day. And what we call it also, Biladul Mahshar, where the assembly, where all the deceased will resurrected and stand in assemblies for judgment. It will be in Jerusalem. Hmm. Now, you tell me how they're going to put all these human beings in Jerusalem, as you and I know it. Where?
Yeah, it's hard to fit the people that are already in Jerusalem.
Exactly, exactly. So the earth or the heavens or whatever, we don't know how it is. This is somewhat we call it, this is unseen. This is the belief in unseen. We believe it will happen. Where, how, we don't know. Jerusalem is part of heavens. Jerusalem is where all mankind will be resurrected, stand there in assembly, and judged by the Almighty God on bad or good. How are you going to fit them in that small, tiny place? It's not. I mean, but how it is, I don't know. But yes, it is there. Now, where things end is after the judgment day. Now, where are they going to end? How is heavens? How is earth? I don't know. It is something for unseen for us, but yes, it will happen. Death will end, no more end. People will live forever, and that's where the eternal life for everybody. Either they will dwell in hellfire, or they will live in heavens and gardens and good life, and no more suffering, no more COVID-19, right? No more, nothing. None of that. That's it. You will live your life and you enjoy it. And yes, and that is where we said after the last sign comes, where the fire comes from Yemen. And basically, which I did not say it, when that fire comes from Yemen, it will guide people to come to Baytul Maqdis, where everyone is going to stand there and stand for a judgment day, and they will be judged by the Almighty God.
Yeah, I am curious how that works. Perhaps he shrinks us.
I don't know.
Or there's like a long line going to like Mongolia or something.
I don't know. And that's exactly what I'm saying, which at that time, that's why I said very similarities in things. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how they're going to fit. But it is some of the unseens which we have to believe in. You see here, the articles of faith in Islam. One of them, to believe there is life after death, and that's the real life, the eternal life. And there is a judgment day where we're all going to be judged. Where are we going to be judged? In Jerusalem.
Right.
So how are you going to put all the human beings there, standing unjudged? And some will end up in heaven, some will go to the other space, and they're going to be dwelling in either way. So that is that's exact. So very, very similar.
Yeah,
but a different way of interpreting it.
That is fascinating. And
yes.
And one thing I'm very curious to talk about with you is one thing that has gotten a lot of Christians very, okay, I think the end times are close, is that in the Bible, all of this kind of assumes Jewish people living in Jerusalem, living in the land of Israel. And I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who basically trying to use U.S. foreign policy to bring about the end of the world. So I'm curious, as a Palestinian, how do you think through, say, the nation of Israel and the end of times?
Well, I mean, it is fair. So you said, as a Palestinian, Jesus, peace be upon him, was a Palestinian. So let's just start with that. Jesus was a Palestinian, right?
Well, depends on what defining things, right?
Well, Philistine in the Old Testament, everything is Philistine. That's what Jesus, Palestinian. So it's just a land which define a person to be in it, but again, back to how you look at the end of times. End of times, it is, we cannot accelerate or decelerate. You see, in Islam, we have a strong belief in that each one of us will get his or her prescribed time. If you're going to live 85 years, and 3 days, and 2 hours, and 3 seconds, you're not going to make them 4 seconds. You're going to get exactly that life you're going to live in. Now, having said that, the day of judgment, only God knows when. It's not going to accelerate or decelerate. We know that Jesus, peace be upon him, will come back the second coming, will help the believers to eliminate Gog and Magog and to kill the Antichrist or the false Messiah, and will spread peace. We know that. Now, when, we don't know. Just by killing people or creating more troubles. Some people, this is how they think. I mean, again, I was wondering, I don't know where, if you were here in the 2000, Y2K, they drove us nuts for it.
Yes,
and literally, they drove us nuts. It's just like things can happen now.
Right.
And 8 years ago, I think 2012.
2012,
another things. I mean, I have no clue, with all due respect to these people, how they think things are going to happen. We don't know. Still, as a person who believes in God, these 10 signs has to happen. I did not see any of them yet. We saw so many signs. Actually, in Islam, the Prophet of Islam told us, I have been ascended. The Prophet of Islam came to existence more than 1400 years ago. And he said, when the Prophet came, he came with the hour, very close to the hour. He said, we came like that. And he pointed his middle finger and his index finger. You see how far from each other? Next to each other. And that was happened 1400 years ago. And he said they came together almost. Live your life. When it's going to happen, I don't know. How it's going to happen, I don't know. I have to live my life. You have to be good in your life. And you cannot commit crimes or kill others or commit mischief or do anything in the name of God. That's wrong. Just because you want God to come, he's not going to come faster or sooner. He's going to come when he's going to come.
There's a place in the Bible where there's people who are kind of thinking a lot about the end of the world, and the Apostle Paul says to them, let this be the rule. If man's not willing to work, let him not eat. That it's very easy to spend all your time thinking about the future.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's a lot of this country right now, that people are spending all their time thinking about the future, about politics, about the election, and they put their lives on hold. And they put all their energy into things that are thinking about things that are way out of their control.
And beyond their control. And that's the reason where exactly what I'm trying to say. I don't even think 2 seconds beyond my control. You do your job, you do your best, you live your life. And when things happen, happen. I don't believe we're going to see Jesus Christ during our life. I mean, I didn't see any of it. I don't know how long we're going to live. I mean, it is, according to them, should happen 20 years ago or 8 years ago or whenever. No, when it happens, it happens. Don't commit crimes. Don't commit aggression against others. Don't try to do things with the hope that you are accelerating the coming of Jesus be upon him. No.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that, by the way. I think you can't live your life in a way that the ends justify the means ever. No. Right? So I cannot accept, say, atrocities against the confiscation of the property of Palestinians by Israel because I believe God is going to do something with Israel in the future, right? Everyone is obliged to do what's right in God's eyes.
That's it.
Regardless of what's going to happen in the future.
And live your life.
Yeah. And I think the thing is that God is working in so many ways in the world beyond just the sort of the ultimate end of the world as well. Right? So on a personal level, I could die and stand in front of God tomorrow. Right? I could go have to meet my maker tomorrow or after this podcast.
Actually, that's what Islam says. That's what I said. It's al-qiyamah, or the end of time, for each one of us start by his or her death. That's where the end of time starts. For each one individual. But the final stage is what we call it al-barzakh. Al-barzakh, from the time you departed, your soul is gone. The spirit, we don't know where the spirit goes. It's just somewhere. We don't know. God clearly told us in the Quran, you know nothing about it. It's just only God knows what the spirit of or the soul of the individual, where it goes. Now, that's where your end of time comes. Comes at that moment, you're going to stay in the grave till the day of judgment, and that the final end of time where everyone going to be resurrected and stand up for judgment. And yeah, we don't know when. I have no clue when.
So there's another sort of difference between the Islamic and Christian way of thinking of that as well. Not entirely, but for the Christian, we believe there's a thief who's crucified next to Jesus. And there's two of them mocking him. And then one of them turns to the other one and says, look, stop making fun of this guy. We're here because we deserve to be here. He does not deserve to be here. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you go to your Father's kingdom. And Jesus says to him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. So there's a Christian hope, and this isn't the only place it's discussed, but there's a Christian in the Bible. There's a Christian hope that we believe because Jesus has paid for our sins on the cross, that we immediately go in our spirit to be in the presence of God himself. And then when Jesus returns, that's when our bodies are resurrected. So there's we believe we temporarily go to heaven when we die now. And then we're resurrected in our bodies to live on earth forever.
And conversely, the term hell is a bit of a junk drawer term in English, because in the Bible you've got the terms the lake of fire, which is the final eternal judgment, and then you've got Hades, which is like the holding place for the day of judgment. Think of it like jail and prison, right? Jail is where you're locked up awaiting sentencing. Sentencing happens, and then you go to prison when you're sentenced.
Right. You know, James, I mean, you brought a very good point. Islam is very much similar. The difference, I can see it. In the Christianity, they have more imagination in things. They feel like they need to elaborate more on, for example, let's say the soul, right? When the soul departs the body, we don't know where it goes. Now they say they're going to go, the Christian, according to what you just told me, is going to be with the presence of God. I don't know. It could be, it could be not. I cannot say it, because religiously, I can't speak on the unseen unless there is some actual report about it. We know it will depart, it goes somewhere. How? We don't know. What it is, we don't know. But we know it's going to go, it's going to go somewhere. And when it's resurrected, it's going to come back and going to be judged. Number one. Number two, about the, what do you call it, about the... back to Jerusalem, right? Back to Jerusalem and this and the holy place of it and things. And again, that is, in Islam, Jerusalem is part of heaven. Now, to call it the same earth or different earth, I don't know. We have a say, where there's a saying of the prophet, heavens will eager to see and get Jerusalem. So how valuable it is in that. And number three, you cannot commit crimes in the name of God. God against that, in that sense. Back to Jesus, peace be upon him. Yes, in Islam, maybe that's a different subject by itself. In Islam, when Jesus, peace be upon him, with the disciples he has, the 12 of them, he was not crucified. He was ascended to heaven alive, and the one who cheated him, the one who basically informed his enemy about him, he's the one who made to look like Jesus. And that person was crucified. So when I come to the Christian and Islamic faith, I say, yes, we agree that someone was crucified. You call him Jesus. No, we call him similar than him. It's not him. So there's agreement. I'm not going to argue what would happen about it.
Hey, you said we were the more imaginative ones.
Yes, exactly. No. What I mean is, it's not in a negative sense. And I think sometimes people feel obligated, right, to explain more. In Islam, religiously, I cannot. You might find some Muslims who will give you more information. I cannot. I cannot say, for example, what happened to the soul, where it goes. I can say it goes somewhere.
But does the Quran actually say specifically that Jesus was replaced with somebody? Or doesn't it just say the Jews did not kill Jesus, the son of Mary, it was only made to appear to them?
No, it is here. وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. Meaning that is they did not kill him, they did not crucify him, but there is somebody look like him, شُبِّهَ, look like him. That person was crucified, not him. Because God took him up to heaven.
So it honestly seems like most of the differences, again, there's a generally broad outline, come down to who exactly Jesus is.
The technicality.
Pretty big technicality, though.
Very big one, yes. No, there's a question, yeah, of course. I mean, that's the reason why I told you Jesus was a Palestinian, because when he said Palestinian, I said, yeah, he was. If I want to talk about technicality, he was. I mean, it is... of course, we are proud that he is a Palestinian, so...
Well, yeah, again on that front, right?
Okay.
So, technically, the province he'd born in would be born into was Galilee, right? So,
yes.
At that time, you'd have... Palestine would be specifically the sort of coastal cities.
Right.
And Jesus would have been born way up... No, born in Bethlehem.
In Bethlehem.
Right, so I guess...
Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Bethlehem. It's about 30 miles north of Hebron, where I was born.
Right.
So now who's closer to him, you or me?
Oh, definitely ethnically you are. Much closer, right? So as far as a countryman.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think this is, for me, brother, is there's not like a, I don't have a religious problem calling Jesus Palestinian. I'm just a history nerd, and I'm like a Roman Empire nerd. So technically the province he was born in was Judea, right? It becomes
no Judea. See?
Yeah, right.
Judea. I mean, no, Judea is basically, again, that's maybe a different subject we can talk about. Judea, Judaism, the origin of Judaism is Judea.
Right.
Exactly, where I was born.
Right.
And again, but I don't like to attach things. I'm proud Americans. It's not, but when we talk about lands and things, Judea, I mean, it's basically, it's a very holy place where the beginning of Judaism, Judea, Hebron, that's what it is. The mountain of Hebron is Judea.
Right. So, so I acknowledge that, and so you would have grown up in a context much more like Jesus than I ever did, because you know you're 30 miles from 30 miles. I don't know.
South of him. Yeah.
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 So that is fascinating. And I don't believe that Palestinians, Israelis have any barriers from being in fellowship with Jesus. So that's about time for this. I do have some more questions.
But okay.
Well, that will go to the after show.
Okay.
So thank you so much for being here and having this conversation. And thank you guys for listening to the Almeida Initiative podcast. We will be back next week. Please like and subscribe for more content every Wednesday. It helps more people see these videos and join in this important conversation. If you want to see more of this conversation, check out the after show right here, or you can watch last week's episode.
This British guy costume is really hot. Can you bring me some water? على فكرة احنا اسمنا المائدة يا اخي جيبونا اكل حاجة جيبونا تمييز فور يا هو